Hello once again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. Indian cuisine encompasses a wide variety of dishes from different regions of India. Throughout the centuries, it has been heavily influenced by religious and cultural traditions, namely vegetarianism. Spices, herbs, vegetables, and fruit make up its core. Hari Nayak is among the new generation of creative chefs from Asia. He is a restaurateur, author, and the culinary director for Cafe Spice, a manufacturer of fresh Indian foods located in New York's Mid-Hudson Valley. His unique style makes Chef Hari one of the most sought-after Indian chefs, breaking through the common misconception that the preparation of Indian food must be complex. Hari has simplified the style and incorporated modern methods, much the same as Julia Child unpacked French cuisine a half century ago. Want to know more about Indian cuisine? Well, this is your chance. Give us a call. The number to call is 1-800-348-2551. Again, 1-800-348-2551. You can also post your comments below today's Vox Pop wall post on our Facebook page, facebook.com/WAMC Radio, or tweet us with your questions and comments at WAMC Vox Pop, or email voxpop@wamc.org. But again, the number to call is 1-800-348-2551. Chef Hari, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. Pleasure to be here.
You know, while you were preparing the food upstairs in the kitchen, I made the remark, and I was not engaging in hyperbole, it's the best this place has ever smelled. It is, what you have made is amazing, and we'll get to that in a minute. But let's talk about how you got here. You grew up in southwestern India, right?
Yes, I did. I grew up in India, southwest part of India. It's a small village, which is famous for its cuisine. And I've always loved cooking. So I wanted to learn how to cook more. And I found, which is the best place to go to learn how to cook. And I looked up Culinary Institute of America. And that's how I landed in New York in 1997 to go to a cooking school. And that's how I landed here, just the love of cooking and learning more.
But I imagine there are things only available in a master class here that you learned from your elders growing up.
Absolutely. And growing up, of course, I learned how to cook Indian food by looking at my mother or grandmother. But the interest, there was a little TV programs that inspired me, whether it's Julia Child, Martin Yen, and there's Galloping Gourmet,
sure.
Martin Kerr. So I grew up watching them, and it kind of inspired me to cook all that. But I never used to find those ingredients in India. So, you know, growing up, I wanted to come to the CIA, and, you know, I wanted to learn how to cook. That's how I ended up here. And I started running away from our cuisine, and I wanted to learn Western food, French food, and I wanted to be a pastry chef. That was my goal. But yeah, today I'm going back to my roots and trying to make Indian cuisine more
accessible. Do you ever try making a pastry now and again for fun?
Absolutely. I still love it.
Yeah.
But yeah, today I'm sort of a brand ambassador for our cuisine because I love the cuisine so much.
And I love that line in one of your books, and you've written 5 books, but one of the books, you have a line in the foreword that you want to be an ambassador who could make this cuisine more accessible to the average person. And I got thinking, it's almost intimidating for many of us. We know so little about it. Maybe we go to a restaurant once in a while.
Yes.
But it's almost magic.
It is. You know, one of the things when I landed in this country and was in a little town in upstate New York, Poughkeepsie, and I was missing my home food.
Yeah.
And I used to go to all these restaurants trying to find Indian food, which I was to miss. And Indian food was so misrepresented in this country. Now it's changing, but...
don't you think the same thing with Chinese food?
Absolutely. Like General Tso's chicken probably is never... found outside of United States, just like that, one of the most famous dishes in Indian cooking, that is chicken tikka masala. I never grew up eating that, and that, the first time I ever tried chicken tikka masala was when I came to this country. So again, the only go-to for Indian food for me was these buffets, which I used to go and look at, and this is not Indian food.
Yeah.
This is not how it should be represented. So I kind of took it upon myself to, okay, how do I change the perception of Indian food? And everything was labeled curries because Indian food is not all about curry.
No, but people do like curry. Absolutely. It's almost an addiction for some people.
What do you think? What is a curry to you?
Oh, you're asking the wrong guy.
Yeah. But most people think curry is that spice powder that
well, you
comes
see it in, sure,
in
the supermarket.
So that's
sure.
What you think curry is. But for an Indian, a curry is nothing but a sauce, and it's an entity. It's not an ingredient. So curry definitely would have different spices.
Sure.
And there could be a curry which doesn't have any spices. For example, a legume or a dal could have just one spice in it or nothing at all. So it's still a legume curry.
So, right.
And it could have a complex 15 spices in a curry. So it's a whole different thing that people don't know about. So.
Well, it's another lexicon, if you will. There are many terms that many of us just don't have in our regular cooking vocabulary, and many spices most of us don't even touch. Here's a question that came in via email, and we'll get to the phones in a minute. 1-800-348-2551. This is from Tana, and it says, the importance is high, so we better read this. What is the difference between the terms curry and garam masala? My understanding is both terms mean spice mixture, which of could be of any number of spices in any proportion. I find that my fellow Americans think each term is specific to a certain mixture. True or not? And that's from Tana in Cooperstown.
It is true. It's completely different. It's the common thing about these two spice blends are they both have different spice blends. Garam masala literally translates to hot spice. Garam is hot. Masala is a mix of spice. So that is an ingredient that is added into the dish where you take five or six whole spices. It could be cumin. Most commonly, every recipe is different. Every household has a different spice blend. So generally, it contains cumin, fennel, cinnamon, and cardamom, and nutmeg or mace. So you toast all these spices and grind it, and you sprinkle it to your dish, and that's garam masala. And curry powder is that yellow stuff that you find in the tin, which probably you never find it in India. It is something that when British ruled India, it's something that they took back. They missed Indian food when they went back, and they've probably told their cooks to come up with a spice blend which reminds them of Indian cooking, and suddenly, all of a sudden, in the West, there was curry powder that was made in UK, and now it's sold all over the world as curry powder. It's that yellow stuff.
Sure.
Which basically, the yellow color comes from turmeric, and that's the notorious yellow color, and people identify curry powder with that yellow turmeric ingredient that's in there.
Well, spices are so important to what you do, and you talk about in your most recent book is the Cafe Spice Cookbook.
Yes.
And I think in the beginning of that, maybe it was in the beginning of My Indian Kitchen, you talk about the heart and soul of Indian cooking.
Yes.
And right up at the top, it's spices.
Absolutely. And the spices that I have here, they are the real diva in Indian cooking. You have to learn how to use them. And if you master the knowledge of spices, it's just understanding characteristics of each of these spices. And if you know that, you know how to cook Indian food. So, for example, each one of these spices, there are so many different ways to use it. So, and what I think is if you take a simple ingredient like cumin seeds, there are so many ways you can use that. You could use it whole, toasted, and that gives you a different flavor. You can use it ground. That gives you a different flavor. You could use it in a spice paste. You can grind it into a paste with a little water or different spices. That gives you a whole different layer. So you have to understand the characteristics and the way the spices react to each other. And if you know that, and you know Indian cooking.
Okay, you brought, and I promise you, we will get to the calls in a moment. Maggie, you'll be first when we do. The number to call is 1-800-348-2551. We talk Indian cuisine with Chef Hari Nayak today. You brought, how many different spices have you brought with you today?
Well, this is just a fraction of what I
really
find in my pantry. So there's a lot, and it's colorful. If you look at the colors of these different spices, and that's what brings the real flavor to the Indian dish. And I would refrain myself to calling it curry, but yeah, it's blend of these spices what makes Indian a true Indian dish.
Well, if you want to see this, and it is colorful, and we haven't even gotten to the food that Chef Hari has prepared, and we'll talk about that after the break, but if you want to see this, go to WAMC.org, click on the live video link, and you can take a look at all the couple of dozen spices here that are so nice to look at, and they smell good, too. We'll take a short break. 1-800-348-2551. Jessica Blaustein Marshall just walked in. That means it's about time to eat, and we'll get to the phones. Maggie, you'll be first. We'll be back.
Support for WAMC comes from Windy Hollow Veterinary Clinic, Montague, Massachusetts. Conventional and integrated veterinary medicine, including acupuncture and chiropractic therapy, comprehensive pet care and health services since 1998. WindyHollowVet.com. Spirit House, Amherst, Massachusetts. A family-owned wine, beer, and spirits retailer offering organically farmed wines from around the world. Wine tastings, Saturday afternoons, SpiritHAUS.com. Gloriosa & Company, Ashfield, Massachusetts, planning and catering weddings, showers, reunions, and other gatherings indoors or out, at the Curtis House with three rooms available or at a variety of venues around the area, gloriosaco.com, and the Preservation League of New York State, Albany, New York, announcing their updated website with more information about membership, grants, and loans, so our past has a future, preservenys.org.
Vox Pop on WAMC. It's Food Friday, and Ray Graff here, 1-800-348-2551. We're joined today by Chef Hari Nayak, who is the author of several cookbooks. The most recent is the Cafe Spice Cookbook, and boy, I'll tell you what, we have some food in the studio today. So before we talk about that, let's talk about the presentation. The presentation you have of... This is, I guess, a traditional sort of way to present the food?
Absolutely. This is called a thali, which is essentially a big plate. And every item for that meal would be served on the plate, including the dessert and the salad or a soup. So essentially, the main difference between a Western way of eating and Indian way of eating is there are no courses. So everything is served on a plate. Here I have a piece of banana leaf that I have put together all these different dishes. That's the traditional way you eat in southern India. It's a tropical region. You have a lot of banana trees, especially when you have a celebration, you would eat on a banana leaf.
Mm.
And another important thing is you eat with your hands. That's very traditional. I don't expect
do
it today.
You don't know me very well. That's the way I always eat.
Yeah, so. Eating with your hands is one of the things that it's an art. You know, when you eat in India, it's you take the sauciest of the dish and you still manage to eat with your hands. That's something different.
Well, I ask you to avert your eyes when I eat then.
Yes.
All right, let's go to the phones. 1-800-348-2551. Maggie, you've been very patient. You're on with Chef Hari.
Super. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I am wondering whether Chef Nayak has any ideas about a snack food that is made out of jalapenos, stuffed with various spices. The only one I remember distinctly is fennel, but it was extremely spicy. They were then packed in a jar, covered with oil, and let sit for maybe a week so the flavors would blend and develop. And I'm wondering if you might know what other spices would be in that, or if he's familiar with that dish.
I think, if I'm not wrong, you're talking about a pickled jalapeno. Jalapenos are traditionally not available in India, but you are talking about a stuffed chili. Was it jalapeno? Are you sure it was a jalapeno, or was it just a green chili?
Well, I'm not entirely sure, but I would say that it was about the size and shape of a jalapeno.
Yes, I guess in that case you're talking about a green chili pickle. So there's a whole pickling culture in India where you take different ingredients, whether it's a raw mango or vegetables that you pickle in a lemon or a vinegar solution with lots of red chili, really hot. So probably what you have tasted is a chili pickle that is very common accompaniment with Indian cooking. And you could try making it at home, but I would suggest you take a trip to an Indian grocery store. There are plenty these days, and ask for a pickle. And if you're adventurous enough, have it with a little toast and use it as a spread, and that's really good stuff.
Delicious.
Okay. I'm not sure that's what I had, but that does sound delicious. I'll give that a try.
Okay.
Maggie,
sure.
Thanks a lot for the call. The number to call here is 1-800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. All right. What is on my plate? And this thing, which I ate while Maggie was on the phone, is amazing. What is this?
You are having a samosa, which is a very, very popular Indian snack. It's a stuffed pastry. It's stuffed with potatoes. It's a very common street snack had during tea time. One of the things we do is have a lot of tea time snacks, chai and samosa. It's a very common afternoon snack. So you're having that. It's stuffed with mashed potatoes that are flavored with turmeric, cumin, different spices, and green peas in there. And it's handmade with a little pastry, and it's fried.
So the pastry, it's very nice and light. So is this a standard, when you make the pastry for this, is this basically the standard way that all the Western pastry chefs make the pastries?
It's very different. It's not the traditional pastry that you find. The closest pastry that I can think of in the West here is an empanada.
Yeah.
Similar to that, every country has its version of a pastry that is stuffed with potatoes.
Hmm.
And we have our samosas in India that is really good, and it's very popular.
Now, I dipped. Is that appropriate to dip in the sauce?
That is a mint chutney.
Okay.
And that is mint and tamarind chutney. These are the two sauces that you have.
But I tried them both.
Yeah, one is a little tangy, tamarind, and mint chutney has green chili, so it is a little spicy. So you break these snacks that are different fritters. India is famous for its fritters. There could be numerous different types of fritters made with onions, potatoes, and samosa sits on top of these snack items. Very popular in this country and even in India.
I think kids would love this.
I think so. It's, again, did you find it spicy?
No, not for me, but I like a good amount of spice.
There is heat. There's a lot of flavor, and people think, Indian food, very hot, very spicy. But it's not. It is the different flavors. It could be spicy. You can add, the red chilies or the black pepper. These are hot spices.
Yeah.
And there are aromatic spices like cardamom and cumin. So it's the right balance of it, what makes it flavorful. If you want it spicy, you just increase the red chili, the green chili, or the black pepper. But altogether, it's balanced and just right.
In general, does the American palate go for too mild or too spicy in your eyes?
I've seen both. I've seen people who can eat spicier than what I can handle.
Yeah.
My palate has toned down after living here for more than 20 years, so it's toned down a little. When I go back to India, I can't handle it myself right now. But I've met people who can handle spicier food than I can ever think of.
Mm.
They said, more chilies, please. And I'm like, okay, if that's how you want it, sure.
Customer's always right.
But it's the right balance of sweet, spice, salt, and, sourness. That's what makes it a true balanced, well-balanced dish.
So this red liquid,
yes.
What is this?
That's fresh beets, and that's a beet soup.
Wow.
And it's a traditional South Indian soup or a broth in South India called rasam. It's a blend of different spices and tamarind and lentil. It's essentially a lentil soup blended with fresh roasted beets, and it's one of our signature dishes that we make, and we are very proud of it. And it has won numerous awards too.
I'm tempted to drink this.
You should.
You okay.
Want a spoon?
Listen. If I'm allowed to drink it, I'll just drink it.
You should. Yeah, you should just drink it. It's really fresh. It's we use fresh beets in season, and it has probably more than 10 to 12 different spices in it.
This is. Do you put salt in this too?
Is there salt? Yeah, of course. No food tastes good without salt. You know, you take off salt from my pantry, you know, I don't think I can cook.
I got to say, I've never had anything like it.
Yeah.
That's really good. The number to call here is 1-800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. We're talking with Chef Hari Nayak of Cafe Spice. What is Cafe Spice?
Well, it is it's a brand. Today, it's the largest Indian brand in America.
And really?
It started, yes, absolutely.
So it's not per se a restaurant.
It grew up from a restaurant. It started as a restaurant chain in the early 90s. Our founder, it's still a family-owned business. Our founder was one of the pioneers of Indian cooking in this country. Before even I was born, he had the vision of creating this brand of restaurants called the Cafe Spice Group. And it had... In New York City, Boston, Philadelphia, there were many restaurants, and reached a stage where how can you grow Indian food nationally? And now we've changed our business model from fine dining restaurants to retail markets. It's one stop shop for all your Indian cooking needs, and we still maintain the restaurant quality food, but you can find it in any natural gourmet supermarkets around the country.
See, that's a trick with retail food. For instance, when I was a kid in the 70s, Chinese food always advertised on TV, always in your grocer's freezer.
Yep.
I got a feeling it was not very authentic.
It is not. It was probably not, but that's what we strive for. It is authentic, restaurant-quality Indian food that you can find in the get your hands on if you go to a supermarket. That's our goal.
It's got to be tough, though. You're a chef. You have high standards. Even if you're running a kitchen in a restaurant, you're going to want to keep an eye on all the stations and make sure it's being done right. When you're doing retail like that, that's got to be another level of keeping your eye on things. Oh, you know what? Let's bring in Stephanie Madoff with a soft A, who is one of the marketing director, or the marketing director of Cafe Spice. And you wanted to chime in on that?
I did, Ray.
Oh, well, can we turn her mic on there, Zach? Hang on. Sorry to throw you the curveball. I did not tell our engineer about this. Go ahead.
It is, Ray. And that's what, Cafe Spice, what we do is we actually cook everything in small batches. So we cook from scratch. We make everything from scratch, including grinding the spices before every batch. We soak our chickpeas overnight for our chana masala. We don't open up cans and just dump chickpeas in. So everything is that slow method of replicating what you would do from Hari's recipes, but he's produced it, you know, in a homemade setting. We do that and we recreate it in small batches still for supermarkets.
That's really cool.
Yes.
And the packaging is nice, and it looks like it's ready to eat. So grinding spice, I mean, is there an art to this? Can't you just pick up the spice already ground for you?
No, you shouldn't. I do not recommend. We have a spice room in our kitchens, and that's what I recommend for anybody who wants to cook Indian food is buy the spices whole as much as you can and use it when you're ready to cook. It loses its flavor when you have it already ground. Buy whole cumin instead of cumin powder. Buy whole coriander seeds instead of coriander powder. Fennel seeds instead of buying fennel powder. So buy all these spices whole. Lightly toast it in a pan, hot pan without any oil. And it releases the oil and brings out the flavor. And I would recommend buying a spice grinder. It's one of my favorite tool in a gadget in my kitchen.
Yeah.
A little coffee grinder. I use it for my spices. I have two, one for coffee, one for spices. Well, you can blend it together.
Sure.
It tastes good too, but
It together?
No, why not?
Wow, all right.
You can have hot chocolate. Why not hot coffee?
All right, fair
no,
enough.
No, I haven't done it. I've done
it. Oh, you
by
haven't
mistake.
Done it. All right, because somebody's going to try that, you know.
Why not?
All right.
So, whole spices, grind it, buy it whole, grind it, and then sprinkle it on your dishes. You can see the difference. It's a huge difference.
And you can taste the difference?
You absolutely will taste the difference.
All right, let's go to the phones, and there's no, it just says location, but I assume you're in a specific location, Will?
Gloversville.
Okay, well, Gloversville, that's a location. You're on with Chef Hari.
Yes, Chef, where are you located, and what's your phone number so I can make reservations?
Well, there's a website, right? Yeah, it's not a restaurant.
It's not a restaurant. We do have quick service restaurants all over the country, but it's located in different universities. The closest one you can go to is Grand Central Station. We have a location inside the dining concourse. You do not need a reservation to go there, and if you need more information about the cuisine and the food, you could go to our website. It's cafespice.com, and you'll find all our information.
There you go, Will. All you got to do is hop on the train.
Yes.
A number to call is 1-800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. All right, before the next call, let's go back to the food because it's always my favorite part. This, which looks like almost like panini.
It is a panini, and again, it's not something that you would go find in India. It's our creation. It's a handheld. We needed a solution. Indian food could be something that you have to sit down because it's a lot of sauces. You need to eat at a place where we wanted a portable solution for Indian food. So we thought of making a panini, but the filling inside is very traditionally Indian. That's chicken tikka, that's slow-cooked chicken that has a lot of flavor, and that's what we have pulled it, and we have has this nice sauce to it, and that's we have created a sandwich.
This is great, and it's totally portable. The thing is, and I noticed this in, I believe, in one of your books, Indians and everywhere, it's not an insular world. In other words, you're going to bring influences. If you're cooking in India, you will bring influences from other countries as well.
Yes, absolutely. And you're talking about India itself has influence from the French, the Portuguese. There's a Persian influence in Indian cooking and the British. I mean, there are so many different, cultures that have ruled India, and so India, for example, chilies and potatoes were introduced to India in the early 400 years back by the Portuguese. So that is our staple, the chilies that were not found in India. So it has an influence, like any other cuisine, from whole different cultures.
And America's another story altogether because we have so many, and I don't know what we had that was uniquely ours in the beginning, but we seem to have everybody's ideas.
Melting pot. I love the way we think here, and that's what I'm trying to do. Just blend in for the mainstream, try to showcase Indian cuisine and how to simplify it and take it to their homes.
If you're grinding your own spices, it's not going to be a 5-minute meal.
It is.
Really?
If you have a little coffee grinder and if you have whole spices in your jar, and if you have the book or some guidelines for recipes, you could grind it in a matter of a couple of minutes and sprinkle it on your... you don't have to cook Indian recipes from my book, or when you look at Indian recipes, there could be 15 to 20 ingredients. I would say if you're starting off, if you've never cooked Indian food, buy a couple of spices. I would say whole cumin, whole coriander, maybe cardamom seeds, and... If you're making roast potatoes at home, and I would say, simply grind some cumin to it, grind some cumin in your coffee grinder, add it to your roasted potatoes while you're sautéing with a little butter, and see the change in flavor in those roasted potatoes. Is it Indian? We have a dish in India called aloo jeera, which is cumin potatoes. I eat it at home every day. So it's as simple as that. You could take one spice and start with that, and then you can start becoming more adventurous with different spices.
So not necessary to be as complex as I would fear it to be.
No, absolutely not.
All right, let's go back to the phones. 1-800-348-2551. Mary in Albany. Mary, you're on.
Hi. I have heard from Indian chefs in this area the same comment that today's chef made, that the Indian food is not accurately represented in American culture. Would the chef feel comfortable suggesting or recommending restaurants in the capital region that he thinks does accurately reflect Indian cuisine.
Careful, chef.
I wish I could, but I'm not from the area, and this is my second time I've come to Albany, and I'm not too sure I can help you there.
I'll tell you what,
Mary. I would go with the Yelp reviews. Why not?
Studio A is a pretty good place for Indian food right now.
Yeah, this is the place to be right
now. Thank you so much.
Appreciate the call. The number to call is 1-800-348-2551. By the way, the drink, which I drank completely during the last break. What did I drink?
You had a mango lassi. Lassi is a yogurt drink. It's basically a yogurt smoothie. And mangoes Indian mangoes are the tastiest. It grows in summer, and we don't have the privilege to having fresh mangoes. But if you take regular mangoes that you find in your market or purees, you just blend it with a little yogurt. And the flavoring that you can taste is a rose syrup. So it's an extract that you take with rose petals, and that's the flavoring in it. And there's a little cardamom, too, in it. So it's a flavor. There is one spice even in the dessert. So we believe in adding spices in every dish.
It's so refreshing and so light. We'll be right back. It's Chef Hari Nayak. It's Food Friday. We talk Indian cuisine. Still time to get your call in. And, boy, you can also email voxpop@wamc.org. We'll be right back.
Support for WAMC comes from Sutter Meats King Street, Northampton, providing fresh, local, pasture-raised beef, pork, and lamb. Additional house-made items include rotisserie chickens, bone broths, bacon jam, and handmade sausages. SutterMeats.com. Saratoga Bridges, Ballston Spa, New York, a community resource for people with disabilities and their families, supported employment, day services, and more. SaratogaBridges.org. Empire Exhibits and Displays, Mechanicville, New York, a custom design and fabrication shop specializing in trade show exhibits, museum installations, and commercial casework. EmpireExhibits.com. And Cafe Capriccio, offering dining and catering with Tuscan cuisine in Albany, New York, and Neapolitan cuisine in Saratoga Springs. CafeCapriccio.com for reservations.
Vox Pop on WAMC Food Friday, and I hope you're enjoying your Friday. We're joined today by Chef Hari Nayak of Cafe Spice and trying some delicious things today and taking your calls. Just had a piece of what looks for all the world like fudge.
It is fudge. It's called barfi. It's a very traditional Indian dessert. We call it mithai. Mithai is a term that is used for sweets. And this is this time of the year. Especially coming up November 14th, is Diwali. It's a festival of lights. Mm-hmm. It's the most popular festival among Hindus, and we eat a lot of desserts during that time. And a lot of fireworks in India.
Oh, I love fireworks, too. So what was in that?
What you had is essentially a few ingredients, just milk, sugar that has been cooked down until it's to a consistency where it's almost a fudge with little pistachios and cardamom. Few ingredients, but it's just delicious.
Yes, it is. Let's go to Christine in Mount Tremper. Christine, you're on. Or is it Christina?
It's Christine. Hi. How's it going, folks?
Good. Nice to have you here.
Thank you. Hari, I love Indian food. I was introduced to it by my sister, whose partner lived in India for several years, and she came home with a recipe for dal. And there, I noticed, going to different restaurants, that there are many different types of dal. She makes hers with orange lentils.
Yes.
I was wondering if you have a simple recipe for dal with orange lentils.
One of my favorite things to eat. It's my comfort food.
It is wonderful.
Just as simple to make. It's just the way I eat it is in a bowl of hot rice and a bowl of dal on top of it. You can't go wrong. So I think you're talking about a pink lentil. It's called masoor dal, which is a split. pink lentils that are available. So the best way to do it, it's pretty simple. You just have to wash it three or four times. If you have the time to soak it, it's even better. And it takes about 15 minutes. It's one of the lentils that takes the least amount of time is the pink lentils. 15 minutes, just cook it down. And then what we call a tadka, which is a tempering. You're infusing the oil or the butter or ghee. If you want to do it really tasty, you can use ghee, which is clarified butter. So you now infuse the ghee or the butter or the oil with spices. The simplest spice to use is cumin seeds. You could use mustard seeds. You could use curry leaves, red chilies. Hot oil, just throw in all these whole spices. Let the butter infuse and flavor with all these spices.
Yes.
A little bit of chili powder, a little bit of garam masala, turmeric, and green chilies, ginger, garlic.
I can hear your mouth watering.
And then basically add it back into the lentils and give it a quick boil, and then you have your delicious soup, and add enough water, just however you like it to be. It's the perfect blanket that covers a rice dish, and there is no Indian meal that is complete without a dal.
And this is dal right here?
What you are having...
No.
That is not dal. That is, what you're having is a chicken curry.
Oh, it's chicken curry.
A chicken tikka masala,
there's something solid in there.
Yes.
And why are there are so many different types of dal made?
There are many. There are many different... if you go to an Indian supermarket, grocery store, you're going to find tons and tons of different varieties of dal, from black lentils to yellow lentils. But I think the fastest way to do it is what your pink lentils.
And from what region of India is this particular curry dal from?
It is. It's made all over. Every region, even north or south, they all have their versions of dal. Every home has their versions of dal. There is no one set recipe for this. If you go to my house, you're gonna try a different dal. My neighbor is gonna make the same recipe. It's gonna taste different. There is no one recipe.
Well, this is absolutely wonderful. I appreciate it, and thank you so much. Indian food is probably one of my favorites.
Thank you so much.
I'm
glad you're enjoying it.
Thanks, Christine. We appreciate the call. 1-800-348-2551 is the number. If you want to talk to Chef Hari Nayak, and the chicken curry is
the chicken tikka masala. Yeah, it's the most favorite dish amongst everybody, including me. I love it.
It seems more mellow than some of the restaurants I've gone to.
I think you can make it hotter.
Yeah.
Chicken tikka masala is something that... it was not even originated in India. It's something like the General Tso's.
Yeah.
It's the British who invented chicken tikka masala. But we do have our versions in India similar to that. We call it a butter chicken or chicken makhni. But this particular dish is Britain's national dish. It's something that when they left India, they went back and they wanted to recreate something that's close to a curry, and this is what they created, and it's everybody loves it all around the world.
When you go back, and I assume you go back once in a while,
very often,
when things change, does it upset you?
Go back to India
when the food changes. You say this is not how I remember it when I was a kid, but all food changes in every country.
It does, but you know, I enjoy the change.
You know, do.
I embrace it. I love seeing new things. Every day there is something new to learn. You know, even as a chef, the learning never ends. It's every day I go to a supermarket or a farmer's market, I find something new to learn. Even when I go back to India, I find some new technique or something new that I learn always. So I enjoy it.
This one came in via email from Cassandra. Does the chef have any tips for making dosa at home? And I don't know if it's dasa or dosa.
Dosa, you've said it right.
Do you need a big pan, was Cassandra's question.
Dosa is for people who don't know what dosa is. Dosa is a lentil crepe that is made. You can make it at home. It's made with fermented lentil and rice batter. It's a gluten-free crepe. if you want a very good dosa, you'll have to go to a restaurant. But it's pretty, if you're adventurous and if you have the patience to make the batter, which requires 24 hours, you can make it at home. It's essentially soaking the rice and lentils overnight and grinding it to a batter, a smooth paste, and letting it ferment.
Okay.
And then you make, you need a, the question was, do you need a flat pan? You do need a nonstick flat pan.
Fairly large pan.
Fairly large pan, and you have to pour the batter on the pan and make it a, make a really thin, spread the batter to make a really thin crepe.
So when you grind, it'll have to be very fine to make the paste?
Yes, that's why you soak the rice and lentils. There are recipes that you can find that are quicker by using rice flour and lentil flour. And if you really want to cut your work shorter, just go and buy the batter. It's available. And just spend the time perfecting the art of making dosa. It's not as simple as it looks. It's like the French crepe. You know, you need to know a little practice, and you can have make dosas at home.
Don't be afraid to fail the first time.
No, you should not, you should always try.
Okay, let's go to Rich, I believe, in Whitesboro. Rich, you're on.
Oh, thanks. I'm just wondering about coffee, how you make it, and if you use any kind of spices to enrich the flavor.
Coffee with spices? Maybe you're thinking about chai, the tea that's very famous in India.
No, I was just wondering. I've heard in the past that you could add some spice that would change the flavor and make it more richer.
No, not that I know of. You know, I think you were talking about the coffee grinder.
And you said you left some spices in. It was kind of a joke, but he said he's done it once in a while.
No, the coffee is best without any spices, I think.
Okay, thanks.
Thanks, Rich. We appreciate the call. Let's go to Steve in Glenmont. Steve, you're on.
Yes. I'm enjoying the show. Yeah. I love Indian food.
Thank you.
Can you cook naan? Can you bake naan without a tandoor? And do you need a tandoor to make Indian food?
To answer your question, I'll answer it, you know, in two different parts. Do you need a tandoor to make Indian food? No, Indian food, tandoor is an oven which really makes it, it goes up to 1,500 degrees.
Wow.
That is, it's a clay oven, clay pot essentially, mainly in restaurants. It's a restaurant equipment. You can't really have it at home, but there are home versions of it, but you don't really need a tandoor to make Indian food. And a tandoor is used to grill, to roast a piece of meat or vegetable, or and to make bread. So to make a naan bread, you can make it in an oven. There are various ways of doing it. You can make it on a flat top. It probably is not going to taste the same as a traditional tandoor. But you could, there are recipes out there. Even my book has a recipe, How to Make Naan at Home.
Which book?
In My Indian Kitchen.
Okay.
And if you have a brick, a pizza brick, that you put it in a hot oven and let the brick turn really hot, and you make a naan dough, flatten it, and then put it on that hot brick, you can sort of get almost close to what is available in the restaurant. And about grilling and roasting, you can use your backyard grill to make all the tandoori chickens and the chicken tikkas that are roasted. You can almost get the similar flavors.
And can you substitute a pizza stone? We use a pizza stone at home.
Yes.
And that can serve in place of a brick, I suppose.
I think so, yeah. Pizza stone, that's what I was referring to. At home,
okay.
You could... probably get as close as possible. If you have a good naan dough recipe, you can try to do that. The key is a really hot oven, and it's really fast. You can make one bread in a tandoor in a matter of 30 to 40 seconds. It's that the oven has to be that hot.
Oh, boy. Okay. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Steve. We appreciate the call. Still a few minutes here if you want to jump in. 1-800-348-2551. And we are joined today by Chef Hari Nayak. So when you do your cooking, are you trying for the most authentic equipment possible, or have you adapted now to sort of Western style baking?
At home?
Yeah.
Well, I hardly get to cook much at home, but you know,
they don't pay you for
you
that.
Know,
huh?
I enjoy simple things. I enjoy, my go-to food when I go home after a tiring day is a bowl of lentils, dal, and some rice, and I'm a happy man.
Okay.
But you know, I use whatever is available.
What about in preparing food for Cafe Spice?
You don't need to, I use what is available here.
Yeah.
I don't have to go shopping in India to get the right equipment. We adapt to what is available here, and the ingredients, we use local ingredients. So again, it's not this, we have to adapt what is available fresh, even in terms of produce and equipment, and we try to make the best of it.
All right, this is a question that just came in via email. What is the purpose of chutney, if any, in India cooking? I've been told that if you include chutney with a meal, it will balance out the meal in terms of nutrition. Kind of a weird question, she says. Do you know what I'm talking about? The acid, sweet, spice, hot elements apparently make up for what's missing in a meal. And
it's a really good question. And yes, chutneys bring up that perky flavor into any meal. Look, if you look at this plate, the thali, there's a little chutney there. It's a mango chutney. Mm. It's a sweet and spice chutney. Chutney is essentially a dip, or what we call it, salsa here. And
sort of.
It's a dip.
Yeah.
So it does work very well. It balances all the flavors. And essentially, we use it as a dip in the beginning of the meal with the starter. And what you have is a papadum right here.
Oh, yeah.
It's a crisp wafer. You dip it in the chutney and you have it, yeah.
Very interesting.
And there are various different types of chutneys, from vegetables to fruits, from just spices and nuts. That are the various hundreds of ways to make different chutneys. And it's a perfect accompaniment for any Indian meal.
And chutney has been sort of something that we've been tinkering with. I know my mom would make it 20, 30 years ago.
What kind of chutney?
She would make them. You know, of course, she's been gone a long time. I want to say apricot, or,
yeah.
You know.
It's great. Yeah, even Thanksgiving is coming up.
Yeah, and that's when we would have
you know,
it.
If,
yeah.
If you have cranberry, the cranberry sauce is essentially a sort of a chutney. It's a dip. You know, that's cooking down any fruit or any vegetables low and slow until it becomes jammy and like a preserve. That's what chutney is. Yeah.
Let's go back to the phones. Tom in Otis, I believe. Tom, you're on.
Hi, how you doing, Chef?
Good, well, thank
in
you.
My youth, I traveled through South India many years ago, and I enjoyed very much what they called meals, which was your concoction served on banana leaves, which you sat at the table, and they just pour the water right out of it to clean it, and it was a real tasty thing. I was just curious, what part of South India were you from?
I am from a southwest India, a small town called Udupi, which is close to Mangalore, which, if you know, travel to Kerala, it is a few hours north of Kerala, a few hours south of Goa.
Yeah.
And I miss eating on a banana leaf, and right here on the studio, if you... this is I've got the meal right on a banana leaf just to make everybody for myself feel at home. That's how you eat your traditional South Indian meal on a banana leaf.
And I think we tweeted that picture out too, or it might be on our Facebook. Let's go to Nina quickly in Pittsfield. Nina, you only have about 20 seconds, okay?
Just I wanted to know if eating meat is more of a special occasion, being, you know, so much vegetarianism in that country, and Or if it's not as common to be eating meat, because when you go to a restaurant, there's lots of meat dishes on the menu.
It is not so common, but yes, I grew up eating meat. It is usually a special occasion on a Sunday. My mother will decide to make a nice chicken stew or a chicken curry, but it's not an everyday thing. It's a luxury.
Well,
it's changing now, though. Yeah.
Nina, thanks a lot for the call. We appreciate it. That will have to be it today. Well, you made it through the show, Chef. What do you think?
It was a blast.
It was a lot of fun.
Yes, it was. I enjoy sharing what I learned, and it's all about the cuisine.
And thanks for bringing all the food, man. It was good. It was very good.
Thank you.
And once again, we want to thank Chef Hari Nayak for being here. Many books at your local bookseller, I'm sure. The Cafe Spice cookbook is the latest. Cafe Spice, you can find it in various grocery stores around here, and nice to have you here. Thanks to everybody who called in. thanks to Zach Malloy, who is our engineer today. Support comes from the Waldorf School of Saratoga Springs, educating children pre-K through grade 12 and striving to inspire a lifelong love of learning, waldorfsaratoga.org. Harold's Ice Cream, Thorne's Marketplace, downtown Northampton, Massachusetts. Over 300 flavors of handcrafted dairy and dairy-free ice creams, cakes, hot fudge, and more. Harold's.com. And Friends of Chamber Music, presenting the Parker Quartet Sunday, November 1st, 3 p.m., Kiggins Hall, Emma Willard School. For details, friendsofchambermusic.org. Thanks again for listening. Thanks to Isaiah Algoho, who took your calls. Yeah, I got it right. Amazing. Everybody, have a great weekend. Alan will be back for Medical Monday at 2 o'clock. The news is next.